Listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Just a few of the thoughts I jotted down while preparing for this interview with spiritual teacher Amoda Ma. She affirms any attempts to right the wrongs of the world must not be done from a place of division, but of stillness, like the stillness of a martial artist. Unless we move from stillness, there is no power in what we do. Right action will arise when you move from stillness and wholeness and from a space that has no self-righteousness in it. It's actually coming from a place of unknowing. From this place, our actions will have power. These, I'm sure you'll agree, are provocative words, thoughts that beg for a space to contemplate, to search our own inner being for the ring of truth they may hold for us. Our dialogue today will be an invitation to awaken from our agitated mind and rest in our true nature with our guest, Amoda Ma. Amoda Ma is a spiritual teacher who, after immersion in psycho-spiritual practices and experiencing her own dark night of the soul, she offers meetings and retreats with seekers of peace and truth fulfillment. Her teachers don't belong to any tradition or lineage, although they do tap into the wisdom of many esteemed wisdom philosophies. She's the author of several books, including a compilation of dialogues with seekers in the book entitled Falling Open in a World Falling Apart. Join us for the next hour as we explore our natural state of unconditional openness with our guest, Amoda Ma. I'm speaking with Amoda from her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Amoda, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Justine, for inviting me to your radio show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my honor to have you. I'd love to begin just a little bit and briefly help us to understand a little of your background, a little of that place where that sparked your path, but kind of prior to that, and then what opened the door to this path of the teachings that you present.
Yes, well, where to start with the background? Like many people, my childhood was somewhat painful. Perhaps I'll jump to my 20s, my early 20s, through to my mid-30s, perhaps even later. But definitely in my 20s, I was a very alienated young person, always feeling outside of society, very solitary, and subject to depression. In fact, I would say it was chronic depression, clinical depression even, and very much locked into my head. I was somewhat of an academic then, and very, very self-conscious and unable to relate to other people, and subject to many suicide attempts, in fact. So I have a history of darkness and difficulties, and many difficulties in the actual life, many changes, many shocks, many unexpected happenings, many losses. I went on a long, long journey of self-exploration on a psychological level, on a spiritual level, on a metaphysical level, on an esoteric level, and found myself totally immersed in that exploration, mostly searching for meaning and happiness. The turning point really was going to India and energetically, viscerally being invited by India, which was very raw in the days that I was there. It was not a sort of tourist destination so much, but it was a very raw experience, a very wild experience, if you like. It invited me to surrender. And I kind of got it. It sort of seeped into my being, into my cellular being, from being a very closed down, fearful person. I learned to surrender, and in that surrendering to what is, something relaxed, something opened up. I would say that was the beginning. It certainly wasn't the end. It was the beginning of something. So that when I returned to the United Kingdom where I lived in London, even though my circumstances were still very painful and difficult, something had shifted. And yes, there was still drama, and yes, there was still pain, and yes, there was still some seeking for a deeper happiness or peace. But throughout it all, I stopped fighting or resisting what is. I truly came to a deep acceptance of whatever was unfolding within me as my experience, my emotional experience, my internal landscape, and in the circumstances. And I think that was a turning point. I didn't know that at the time. but some years later, I asked a fundamental question to myself. And that question really went deep. It was like dropping a rock into a pool, a pebble into a pool, and it went really deep. I asked, what is the nature of suffering? You see, by that point, I wasn't really looking for anything. Many things had fallen apart, and I'd stopped looking for the solution, for the happiness in any external circumstance or in any relationship. And I was very much alone at the time. But still, there was this subtle suffering. Now, I wasn't depressed, that none of that was happening. All of that had come undone, if you like, or I'd moved through it. But I noticed a very subtle kind of suffering. And I asked the question, what is the nature of suffering? And that opened a door. A door that actually allowed me to meet the root of suffering within myself, but also within humanity. It's not personal. It's not collective. It's universal, I should say. And in that moment, there's a little bit more to this than that, but I'll just summarize by saying in that moment, I awoke out of the dream. I awakened, I should say, out of the dream of the separate self, out of the dream of this psychological construct of me. Now, I didn't totally understand that at the time, but something fundamentally changed. And from that point of view, my whole relationship to life and to the way of seeing completely changed. It had nothing to do with an intellectual understanding or even a spiritual understanding. It was like the veils of perception came undone. The scaffolding of the separate self, the me self, came undone. And that was the beginning, but although it took many years after that of me sort of in some ways becoming, if you like, a spiritual teacher.
In what you're saying, when you're talking about all of this and coming into that oneness of life rather than separateness, a lot of people would identify that as, okay, oh, she's talking about non-dualism. Okay, that's like up in the culture right now, and we've all heard about that. But you, it's very interesting. I was just shocked when I was looking at your work and looking at these conversations that have been printed up in the book with some of your students, or I don't even know if you'd call them seekers, people who come to you who are seeking. You said the nature of life is duality. I mean, I loved it that you actually said that. And yet there's a paradox. And I know that you do not subscribe to any particular spiritual path or tradition, or it's important to you that you're not starting some new spiritual tradition. But let's talk about the duality and non-duality of life.
Well, first of all, let's say that, yes, non-duality, the term non-duality is very much a part of the zeitgeist, and one that is very much used in different ways. And I would say fundamentally, in many instances, misunderstood. Having said that, in my day, back then, when this awakening took place, non-duality was not a thing. It wasn't a term that was used. It just wasn't a genre. It wasn't the zeitgeist. So that I had no conceptualization of that. But I did understand, I did know in the depth of my being, in the depth of my knowingness, that what had been experienced, what had opened up and became the whole way of life was non-dual, but not non-dual in a conceptual way, but actually the end of separation, in that I and life are one, and all of life, all of this that I experience takes place inside awareness. Maybe we can return to that.
Exactly. But I'm going to have to remind our listeners, I'm here with spiritual teacher Amoda Ma, and she is the author of Falling Open in a World Falling Apart. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, amodama.com. And she spells her name A-M-O-D-A-M-A-A, amodama.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with teacher Amoda Ma, and we're talking about non-duality, and we're talking about falling open, not falling apart, or it's okay to fall apart. I really want to talk about that, because you really say it's okay to fall apart. And I'm going, wait a minute. I'm thinking of myself as, let's say, I'm a mother and I've a house full of kids. And I would say, I've got to hold it together because I've got to make the meals. I've got to get them to soccer practice. I've got to make the dentist appointments and balance my checkbook. It's like, I have to hold on. I cannot allow myself to fall apart. And you're saying, no, it's okay to fall apart. So what does that mean? Unpack that for us, please.
Perhaps it's not the most valuable way to say it's okay to fall apart, because falling apart in the conventional sense does mean that I can't cook anymore, I can't take care of the kids anymore, I can't pay the bills anymore, and that kind of falling apart. It's more about falling open. Yeah, what does that mean? It can feel like falling apart, but it's not. It's simply loosening the grip. It's simply softening the way that we respond to life. And the conventional way, let's call it the ego identity, wants to hold on and wants to control, because then it feels in charge and then things go my way and so on and so on. And then I prevent bad things from happening. But this was a big illusion. It's not the ego that is in control. And there's a much greater intelligence within us when we just let go. I spoke about surrender earlier, and that's exactly what I mean. I mean, I'm just going to use the example of India, but it's the same everywhere. But India has a particular, or at least in those days, it was like a very loving and wrathful teacher, if you like, in that the chaotic nature, the wild nature, the untamed nature of some parts of India, and the Indian psyche maybe, or even the Indian infrastructure, demand surrender. If you impose your a sort of Western mindset on it, it'll come back and slap you in the face. And actually things flow much more easily and beautifully and in your favor if you just go with the flow. I know it sounds like a cliche, but it's true. And life is like that. And so falling open is not falling apart in the way that we think of falling apart. Falling open is the end of the ego identity, so that we can discover who we really are. And so that's really what it's pointing to.
I know that openness is, and you just mentioned it, and it's really part of your teachings. And I've been working for a long time, and my listeners are New Dimensions. Now I've been working on a definition of God, and it has to do with consciousness as being fundamental and this field of infinite intelligence that is called consciousness. And it goes back to the physicist Max Planck in 1931, talking about that. So in that definition, I have to say, Amoda, you're changing my view. And that is the definition that I'm constantly working on. And now you have helped me to expand that, because there's something that you said about openness, and it's about it being the true reality of life, is being the nature of life. And openness, it made me think, I've been using the word consciousness. It becomes a thing. You have helped me see how I have placed the limitation, even though I say consciousness is all pervading and all every place. But you also, when you use the words that you cannot get, I don't know if you said behind openness, You cannot get, it has no borders. You said something like that. And it made me want to say, oh, that's something that feels so different in my psyche than consciousness. Openness is a state of being. It gives me access in some way to that state. So I'd love for you to say anything you can share with us about openness and about that softening and that relaxation into it.
Yes. So again, we could say open awareness. Yeah, we could say, yeah, openness is open awareness. It's not so much about our capacity to perhaps open or close from the periphery of ourselves. Yeah, we can have tension and resistance, and that's a kind of closure. And we can have a relaxation and a surrender and so on. And we can call that openness. Yes, that's part of it. But when we talk about the fundamental nature of reality and also the fundamental nature of who we are, it goes even deeper than that. It goes to the source, yeah, not the periphery, to the source, to the depth of who we are. And that is fundamentally open awareness. It's the open space within which we experience everything. That open space is what we might call non-dual, because it's without boundary, without beginning, without ending. It's timeless, it's eternal, it's everywhere and nowhere. In that sense, that's non-dual. However, everything that we experience as human beings takes, including ourselves and this body and this mind and this thought and this emotion and everything, is experienced inside, if you like, that open awareness. And that which we experience always has a duality. It's a polarity. There's black and white and up and down and me and you and happy and sad. That's the nature of life. So duality exists within non-duality. But when we examine what is always here, even when experience comes and goes, I feel happy, I feel sad, whatever it might be, an object, a thing, a person, an event, a happening, a loss, a gain. What remains? What's always here? Even when that is appearing and disappearing, what's always here? We go to the source. The source is the open space, which is awareness, that's always here. It's like the room. It's the space inside the room. You take the walls away, the space is still here. You take the objects away, the space is still here. We can come to know that directly. And that's the source of peace. That's the source of freedom.
When we look at this, we might ask ourselves, like in these turbulent times and challenging times, our natural tendency is to want to make a difference, to want to contribute in a positive way to life. And there's a word that you use in your teachings, and it's called tenderness. And in this tenderness, I'm thinking, okay, for example, how is it if I feel strongly about the mass shootings that are happening in the U.S. in particular today, and about legislation, about gun control or gun legislation. And I feel strongly about that. Where does this ultimate reality and where does tenderness then come in and assist me in not being so agitated, but being effective in my life to make a difference?
A somewhat tricky and touchy conversation that we're going to hopefully dance lightly on, because the world is built on opinion. The world is built on righteousness. I'm not saying it's all wrong. Yeah, there are right things in the world, there are good things in the world, and there are harmful things in the world, and so on. And of course, action must be taken where action must be taken. So it's not going to the other extreme and just becoming a passive and uncaring or detached. But the problem is that the world is built on division. The world is built on I'm right, you're wrong. The world is built on the veils of perception that each individual carries, and those veils are created out of cultural conditioning, familial conditioning, educational conditioning, historical conditioning, gender conditioning, karmic conditioning, and some, let's call it media conditioning. Yeah, so we cannot see clearly unless we see clearly, unless we're free of the veils of perception. And without the veils of perception, there is no self-righteousness. We can feel compassion, we can feel hurt, we can feel, there are many things we can feel. But if we take action from the righteousness, from an inner violence, even if it feels like it's absolutely right, then we're perpetuating the division in the world. Without narrative, without opinion, without position taking, we either move or we don't move. And that makes a big difference in the world. Yeah. Sometimes we think we're doing the right thing, or we have the right thought, we have the right viewpoint, and actually it's very misguided. So we have to be very careful how we respond to reality and how we are effective, because there's change that can be created and there's change that is simply adding to the divisiveness. Now, I'm not here to speak about political or social situations or what to do or what not to do. I'm here always to talk about liberation from suffering. Yeah, to awaken to our true nature so that we live fundamentally from a whole new paradigm.
I'm here with Amoda Ma, and she is the author of Falling Open in a World Falling Apart. And if you want to know more about her work, her blogs and other things, her teachings, you can go to her website, amodama.com. And she spells her name A-M-O-D-A, Ma, M-A-A, amodama.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with teacher Amoda Ma, and we're talking about the nature of reality.